Okay, I'm telling you that today is basically all inspired from this little kuntris called Edus Li Yisrael. Whoever wrote this kuntris is a genius. He has some very original, creative ideas. His name is Rabbi Chaim Veig. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. V-E-I-G. Veig? 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 V-E-I-G. He lives in Bar Park. Veig? V-E-I-G. He lives in Bar Park. No, it's not what it says. V-E-I-G.
It's probably like
he lives in Bar Park. He's obviously a very great Talmud Chacham.
It's probably like Feig.
Feig? Feig? Veig. Veig. Veig.
A V instead of a
N. Chassidisha. Veig. Veig. Okay. So he has some very original creative ideas. And everything I'm telling you is not exactly what it says over here, but I just want to at least, whatever I'm telling you over here, I've been inspired to from what I have very quickly run through in this little country. The first idea I want to point out is a very popular idea, and that is in the Al-Hanis, and we know that pretty much Hanukkah, we break up Hanukkah into two parts. Yesterday we still got three parts of Hanukkah, but let's right now just focus on the two parts of Hanukkah. One is a commemoration of the miracle. The miracle of what? Which miracle? The miracle of the Milchama, the battle. There was a civil war. Okay, most of us think that the battle was between us and them, the Goyim, the Syrians. That's not necessarily correct.
Yeah.
The battle was really a civil war. It was between us and us. Okay, a big chunk of the Jewish people we were called the Misyavnim, Jews who were pretty much assimilated. They were assimilated with the secular culture, secular society, and they believed in what the Syrians believed in, and they wanted to desanctify the Beis HaMikdash.
Hellenism,
and in fact, they succeeded to a very large degree in removing the sanctity, and then there were what we call today, the Orthodox Jews, those who maintained the faith, those who held on to tradition, and they were the minority, and this war, the truth prevailed, and the Chashmonaim, who led the Torah true Jews, those who preserved the tradition, overcome the assimilated Jews, which were being fueled by the Yevanim. The Yevanim were very happy to watch us have a civil war, and they were very disappointed, obviously, when the Perushim, the Chashmonaim, the Tzaddikim, the ones who preserved the true Masorah, were able to overcome and overpower the Misyavnim, the Jews who converted to the Greek culture, who adopted the Greek culture. Assimilation Jews. So it's a very, it's a lot of this is swept under the rug. And we think, we're pretty much brainwashed as children, is that the miracle of Hanukkah was the Jews against the Greeks. The Jews against the Goyim. Like Pesach all over again. Or like whatever, the Jews were being persecuted by the Goyim. That's not really what happened. What happened was the Yevanim were very successful in causing a chunk of Klal Yisrael to become assimilated. And it was the assimilated Jews that were waging war against the Jews who were Torah, true Jews who preserved the tradition. And it was a very tragic time when you have a civil war in Klal Yisrael, a Jew against Jew, the assimilated Jew versus the Jew who preserves tradition.
It's not a
and
Jew.
It was a war. Jew. People died.
Assimilated.
People died. What?
Assimilated Jew is not
a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. If your mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. 100% Jewish. All the many halachas apply. A Jew is a Jew. He may not be yet observant, but he's Jewish. As long as he's not influencing, it's like in Yeshiva Katana. What's the basic rule of when you have a student in the Yeshiva that's not with the program, and the dilemma is should we dismiss the student from the Yeshiva? So the general rule is once he's already a student in Yeshiva, one thing not to take him. But once already he's a student in the yeshiva, you're not allowed to throw out a student unless he is influencing the other students. If a child is in the yeshiva and he's not behaving properly, he's not doing things that are lahalacha, so what? It's too bad for you. The school has to keep the child. They have to work with him. But if the child, during recess, is influencing the other students in the school to do averos, then you have no choice in many situations but to dismiss this child. So the Yevanim, the Misyavnim, were unfortunately influencing the other Jews who were still traditional Jews that they should join their ranks and become not observant, and that could not be tolerated. It led to a war, and ultimately the one who prevailed were the Torah, the traditional Jews. Now,
how long was the war?
The wars are 50, the Tekufa was about 50 years. the period of time where there was a very great sakana to the survival of Klal Yisrael was about 50 years. And I mean, the Yavanim were in control for about 200 years. They had influence, they had a time, they had authority over the Jews for at least 200 years, maybe even more. But the Tkufa of Chanukah and the history of the Sefer HaMakabim and the Sefer Chashmonoyim, the Iker time of persecution, Shmat, Gezeron, Shabbos, Milan, Chodesh, and all of the stories and the wars and the battles, v'chulu v'chulu, and where the Beis HaMikdash was pretty much out of the hands under the authority of the traditional Jews, was approximately 50 years. And the miracle of Chanukah, by the way, was not the end. The miracle of Chanukah was just a major victory. But there was still more that was done. There were still more battles, and there were still more things that happened after the miracle of Chanukah until everything totally, all the dust settled. So it's interesting is that when you focus on the miracle of celebration, it was a very select period. And that, of course, has to be understood and discussed, the significance of why this particular period, when it was not actually the very end, there was more work yet to be done. Any event, there was a milchama. We commemorate the milchama where? In the Nusach HaTfilah. Period. This is the long Nusach of the Al HaNisim. Three times a day, Birchas HaMazon, that's where we commemorate it. Where do we commemorate the miracle of the Pach Shemen? That's an entirely different miracle. That was commemorated. That's within the lighting of the Ner Chanukah. A special bracha, l'halik Ner Shel Chanukah, Shas HaNisim, we make a Shechianu, a separate inyan to commemorate the miracle that the Ner Pach Shemen lasted for 8 days, when only the oil was enough to last for 1 day, when the Chashmonoim, they retook the Beis HaMikdash. Now, let me read you a line in the Al HaNisim. You tell me what you think this means. In the Al HaNisim, we read about the war. Okay, the Al HaNisim, there's really no mention about the nace of the Pach Shel Shemen. The Al HaNisim, the Al HaPurim, the Al HaGurus, the Al HaNeshus, the Al Nechamos, the Al Sitha, was saying by Ibn Mohim Azvan Azeh. Okay, miracles. The miracles of, what miracles? Doesn't mean the miracle of the Chanukah candle. It means the war, the miracle of war, the war miracles. And the Purim certainly means our freedom, our redemption from the clutches of the Yevanim and the Messiah Yavnim, the Alagavuros, the different mighty deeds that the children of Yochanan performed, the Al Hatashuos, the Al Nochamos, we go on, the Bimei Matisyon, we go on all through the entire sequence of events. And then at the very end, we come to the Ufurkun, Kayamazevi Achar Kain, after it was over, Bo Vonech Levir Beisach, they came to the Beis Midash, Ufinu Es Hecholecha, they cleaned out all of the idols. V'tiaru es mikdash shecha, they purified the Beis HaMikdash. V'ligu neros, and they lit neros b'chatzrois kod shecha, in your holy courtyard. V'kovu, and they established Shemonas Yimei Chanukah Elu lehodos ulehalel l'shimcha hagadol. Now the question is, what do these words mean? V'ligu neros b'chatzrois kod shecha. Now, if you would not think very much about this, you would say this refers to the lighting of the Chanukah candles, the menorah. The menorah, they found the Pach Shemen, Sheyemunach b'chasam shel kohen gadol, and they lit the neros in the heichol, and lo and behold, it was only enough oil to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. Now none of that is really mentioned over here. Just they lit neros in the chatzros kodshecha. It does not mention over here any details that the oil was only enough to last for 1 day. Doesn't mention over here anything that the oil was a miracle, that they found the oil to begin with. It was a miracle. They found oil buried away with the chaysam. It doesn't mention any of that. It just says they lit neros in the courtyard. And furthermore, the place where you light the candles, the menorah, is not in the courtyard, in the chotzer. The candles are lit in the heichel. Okay, there's a very big difference between the word courtyard, chotzer, and heichel. Almost nowhere in Chazal do we find the heichel being described as a chotzer. A chotzer is a word which means an open area on the outside. So why then does it say over here they lit the candles in the chatzrois kodshecha? So many of the commentators say, in Achinami, all it means over here is that when they were victorious and they won, they celebrated. And in ancient times, when you celebrate, you light candles. That's all it means. Doesn't mean this Neros B'chatzros Kodshecha has absolutely zero religious significance. There was a war. They were under a lot of pressure. They were in great sakana. Miracles happened. They celebrated, you know, like we do today. You know, you have a tzar, rachmal tzlan. You make a suda soida. When you make a suda soida, what do? So you light candles. Like today, we have electricity, so we don't really appreciate what it means to light candles. But this is what you do in ancient times. You celebrate. Look what the goyim do. Havel elif alfi avdalis. The holiday season, they put up. They light up their whole house with all these decorations. Okay, so l'havdil elef avdalos, you get appreciation what it means to go light candles when you celebrate. That's all it means. It doesn't have any religious significance. Then we come to light the Hanukkah candles. Haneirois halalu kodeshem. The ein lanu reshus l'shtamish b'chem. Eli roisik d'lohoidus d'alidei karenecha hakadoshim. There we focus on the miracle, the Hanukkah miracle. Mahadrin, mahadrin, mahadrin. L'cho'oira, there is absolutely no connection. There is no crossover. There is no, what's a good word? There is no overlap. There is no overlap between the tefillah of the Al Hanisim and the mitzvah of Halakas Neros. Why not? Why did Chazal construct the holiday in such a fashion where there was absolutely zero overlap? In the Al Hanisim, there is not one mention, a kihuze, about the Ner Shel Chanukah of the menorah. And in the Ner Shel Chanukah, there is absolutely no mention, no inyan to reflect upon the war. Two passing ships in the evening. That's a piyut. That's not part of the ikur. The ikur bracha. That's a much later edition. The piyut. But the ikur is to make the bracha. Even Haneris Halalu. That's also a later edition. It's just in the three Shas and Nisan Lav Hosein. What's going on over here? Why is there indeed no overlap? So what I think he's trying to allude to in this sefer, something very, very deep, very, very deeply. He's trying to allude to is that's done by design. It's by design. Why is that by design? There should bedafka be no overlap. The miracle of the war. You have to understand. It's a very big miracle. No question about it. No question about it. But it's inevitable. It has to be like that. The Torah, the traditional Jews will win. For one very simple reason. Everything that the traditional Jews represent is emes. Yevanim are sheker. The Mesiavdim are sheker. What they were trying to do to the Torah is pure sheker. They're trying to distort. They're trying to contaminate. There's a principle. Emes is kayim. Sheker ein loy raglayim. Emes yesh loy raglayim. When the day is over, it may take 10 years, it may take 20 years, it may take 1,000 years. When the day is over, emes, the truth, will prevail. This is a reality of life. It's a reality of life. It's built into the DNA of this world. Emes has to ultimately prevail. That's the way it is. There was a war. The traditional Jews were way outnumbered. They were chaloshim, v'chulu v'chulu, and they won. They won the war. They were miracles. It's a miracle. Let's not discount the fact that it was a miracle. We'll talk about a Six-Day War, Yom Kippur War. We'll talk about all the different wars in modern times. A miracle is a miracle. No one's done the fact that it's a miracle. But it's not a miracle. But this type of miracle, especially when you're dealing with a miracle in relation to the purity of Torah, the hashkaf of Torah, it's not like Purim. Purim was a question of survival. Mm-hmm. We're dealing over here with values. We're dealing with the Torah values. So we're going to preserve the Torah no matter what. The only question is, how are we going to present it? Are we going to present it in a museum? Or are we going to present it in a Beis Medrash? When the question is, will it be presented in a museum versus being presented in the Beis Medrash, and there's a war over this issue, the Torah is going to win. The Beis Medrash is going to win because it's emes, and the Yevanim and the Mesiavdim is sheker. Emes will always prevail in this world when the day is over in the right time. So it happened early on. Okay, it could have taken another 1,000 years for this to happen. Hashem had rachmanis upon us, and He allowed the war to happen with great miracles. Gibor miyat chaloshim at a time when, you know, look at today. Today, Orthodox Jews, they're growing in number. the fact that they're taking over, they represent Jews, it's not a miracle anymore. It's a reality. We have the numbers. Go to Eretz Yisrael, Charedim, their numbers are increasing in number. So it's a reality that the government has no choice but to deal with the reality. Go back 50 years ago, it wasn't like that. You're a minority. The fact the government's going to have to be observant Shomer Shabbos, it's a miracle. It's a miracle they're willing to go and the bosses should not operate on Shabbos. It's a miracle they're willing to tolerate that there should be boys who don't go, people who want to learn, they won't force them, whatever. I'm not getting into politics now. It's a miracle that they should allow such a thing because these people are a few in number. Today, I mean, the numbers have changed, so it's not such a miracle. Ultimately, it would have happened that the truth would have prevailed. The miracle was that even though the numbers were very, very small, they were chaloshim, v'chulu, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a miracle was that they survived. But it's not a miracle which you have to make a bracha upon, a miracle which you have to celebrate and commemorate forever. Now, we have a halacha that if a person experiences a miracle, you have an obligation when you go to that place, or at least the following year, to make a bracha. There are many miracles in the history of Klal Yisrael. There are many miracles. And we don't make them into permanent holidays. Chanukah would not necessarily have been any different. It would have been Megillas Tainis. We would commemorate the day for a century, for 50 years. Private people would commemorate it. But the truth has to prevail, no matter what. On the other hand, the fact that oil that's only supposed to last for one day should last for 8 days, that's not supposed to happen no matter what. That's not built into the DNA of this world, that something like this will ever happen. So to make a Yom Tov to commemorate the Milchama, Chazal didn't do. Because Mimela, that's natural. It came about in an unnatural way, prematurely, but no, MS koi, sheker loy koi. Oil should last 8 days, was only supposed to last one day, even though it's very insignificant in the big picture of it. Who cares? So it happened, the oil lasted 8 days. So what would have been if the oil did not last 8 days? So no one would blink. No one would even pay attention. So no, we don't have oil. We don't have korbanos. We don't have this. So we don't have it. We makti the ketores. I don't know. Let's say they would not. Let's say make believe they would not makti the ketores for a month until they can find the ingredients. So no, there's no ketores. No, so there's no oil. So we don't light the menorah. Big deal. It's in the big picture of things. It was a very insignificant miracle. However, it's not natural. That's the point. It's not something which has to happen. It's not something which is natural. The war, the results of the war, were inevitable at some point in time in history. But the Hanukkah candle, that was something that should never have happened. And they came together. Now Chazal were very careful not to connect the two. Very, very careful not to connect the two. Why? Now, even though I told you they did not connect the two, they indirectly did connect the two. How did they indirectly connect? This is what I'm trying to bring out from over here, when he's trying to sing the Sefer. It is Yisrael, even though they only say this, but I'm trying to root it when I'm saying what he's over here. There is an indirect connection, and that is the Neirois, the Chatzrois, Kodesh Shachar. After the war was over, they celebrated. It was a natural celebration. They made a su'udas hoidah. Everyone come together, we're making a party, we're going to have a guest speaker, we're going to give shevach v'hoidah to Hashem that we survived. We won the war, and they lit candles, neirois, b'chatzrois kodshecha. They lit up the place. They lit nice, they brought in the police department, they brought those nice, what do they call it? They brought those nice night lights. Like when they lit up the street.
Floodlights,
like they do when you have a celebration outdoors in order to illuminate the street at night. When they do construction at night, you ever go on the highway and in the night they light up the highway like it's mamish.
Daytime,
they light it up. That's what they did. That was a mundane kindling of the candles. But that celebration with the lighting of the mundane candles, it awakened them. Wait a minute, what happened over here? What has happened over here? The truth has prevailed. It was a source of inspiration, the fact that the truth has prevailed, for them to reconnect to their spiritual roots. Sometimes when you have a spark of MS, it awakens you. Let's talk about current events. President of the United States gets up and he says that Yerushalayim is the capital of Israel. You don't think for us, Baruch Hashem, for people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, big deal. What are you telling me I don't already know? Big deal, right? Big deal. V'Yerushalayim Yerucha B'rachamim Toshu V'Sishkonim B'Sech HaShem Dibarta U'V'Nei Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Big deal. You're telling me a Chiddush that Yerushalayim is not the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is not the center of the world. So Baruch Hashem, we're very fortunate that to us it's just something. Yeah, of course. But think about in America, think about all the Jews in America who are totally irreligious, unaffiliated, assimilated, and they hear the President of the United States make a statement that Yerushalayim is the capital of Israel. And the Western Wall is the heritage of the Jewish people. You don't think for them, people who are irreligious, who are not connected, wow, what's going on over here? The president is making a statement about a secular country, and from their point of view, Israel is Israel, no different than going to Jamaica. Okay, Israel is Israel, and he's talking about Yerushalayim. Don't you think a Jew who has a spark of Judaism is spiritually awakened? Here, I know Michal, he's saying something different. I want to listen to my point.
I think they're totally confused.
They're confused. It shakes them up. Why are they shaken up?
Especially considering the source of where it's coming from.
Why? Now, the source of where it's coming from is the Pashtos. I'm just giving you an example. A secular source. There's a country called Israel, has a lot of problems, a lot of political upheaval, a lot of issues, and here a secular president, the United States, is making a statement in order to push the peace process along. You know what? We could concede Israel, Yerushalayim, to the Jews to some degree, whatever that means.
Not a miracle.
Okay, so here you have a secular Jew, who's a secular Jew, but he's also Jewish. And he has in him the Pintaliyid. The Pintaliyid is in him. And he hears such a thing, you don't think for a moment the spirit of spirituality, which is not shaykh to Trump, not shaykh to the secular world, is awakened? What's going on over here? You don't find there's a spark? It has to be. And it awakens a spiritual dimension of their neshama that has been dormant for a very, very long time. By hearing about Yerushalayim is now the center of the world. And it has to awaken them to return to some degree to their roots. That's exactly what happened in Hanukkah. Hanukkah, there was a war. And in the war, the truth prevailed. The MS prevailed. Giborim, and it's inevitable the truth will prevail. Because Torah is Torah. And when it prevailed, they celebrated. And how did they celebrate? They lit Neros b'chatzros kodshecha. The lighting of Neros b'chatzros kodshecha, it's like Trump saying that Yerushalayim is the center of the world. There are Neros being lit in b'chatzros. You know, there are other Neros that are lit in, are also kindled. Where? In the Beis HaMikdash. And those are spiritual Neros. Those are not mundane Neros. Jerusalem to Trump is one thing, but Yerushalayim to me is something very different. But when Trump says Jerusalem in his language, that awakens in me the Yerushalayim of my world. So when the Neros were lit, the Chatzros Kodshecha, in your holy courtyard, even though it's holy, but over here it means but they were ordinary Neros. They celebrated in Jerusalem. They celebrated in the whole area of Israel, which is called the Chatzros Kodshecha. The holy city they celebrated. But when they celebrated with these Neros, people's neshamos were kindled. And they began to reflect upon the spiritual dimension of Eretz Yisrael, of what this victory means, of the other Neros in the Beis HaMikdash, which are Neros, which Chazal say, Eidos Shehashchina Sherebi Yisrael. The line of Neros is Shehashchina Sherebi Yisrael. It awakened them. And now it's for man, for us, to make this connection. Chazal were very clever. They deliberately did not allow there to be any overlap between the nusach of the Al HaNisim and the miracle of the menorah. There's a complete separation. In the nusach HaTfilah, we give hoidah to Hashem for the milchama, the fact that the emes has prevailed. When we light Chanukah candles, we give shevach v'hoidah, halal, shiras v'shishbachos, for the miracle of hadlokas, ner Chanukah, commemorating the fact that the oil that was only meant to last one day lasted for 8 days. The menorah is kodesh kodashim. It's lit in the Beis Hamikdash by Aaron HaKoyen, b'kedusha v'tahara, with the choysim of the Kohen Gadol. This is a purely spiritual thing. What's the connection? The connection is for us to make. Chazal did not make that connection. The reason why they did not make that connection is because they want you to make that connection. They want you to look at the Milchama, to read the words that they celebrated by lighting Neirois, Bechatzrois Kodshecha, mundane candles, were lit in to celebrate the war, the victory of the war, and to, wait a minute, they're Neirois, mundane Neirois, but they're also holy Neirois in the Beis HaMikdash, which represent the spiritual element of Klal Yisrael. And you are now being tested. Are you going to connect? Are you going to connect the significance of the Milchama, the victory of the Milchama, to use this as a springboard to connect and renew your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Beis HaMikdash? That's the test of Chanukah. The fact that there is a divide between the Nusach HaTfilah and the Mitzvah Hayoyim, and you're in the middle, and you're being tested to make that connection. And this is Mirumas, in what Chazal say, what do you light the Ner Chanukah? The Ner Chanukah is lit by the Pesach Beisai. The Ner is on the left side, the Mezuzah is on the right side, and the Baal Habayis is Oymed Ba'emsa, wearing his tzitzis. What's going on? What does the Mezuzah represent? Your bias is a Mikdash Ma'at. Your bias is I didn't really work this out correctly, but I'm leaving you some loose ends to figure out. What I'm trying to say is that the lighting of the Ner Chanukah is the spiritual element. Is the Ner Chanukah. The mezuzah and the bias, it represents the Milchama. Why does it represent the Milchama? When you fight a war, you fight for territory. You fight for your right to live the way you want to live. Isn't that what Milchama is all about? Freedom. What are you fighting a war for? A war about? When you fight a war, is I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. I don't want you to go tell me what to do. I don't want to go live in a country. They tell me this is how you're going to live. This is what you're going to eat. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do all my money. The bias is your private space. What the mezuzah represents, it's my private space in a home that's built upon the principles of the Torah. The mezuzah along on the post of your bias, you have to fill this in if I'm correct, it's correct, represents the milchama. And on the other side, other extreme is the Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, the menorah. In the middle, you stand in the middle. And you stand in the middle with your talis. Why your talis? What's the talis? Uri semo so uzecharta. When you look at the tzitzis, it's a tool to remember. You are being tested on Chanukah. You're being tested. Look, you dread three times. Most of Chanukah is Al Hanisim. We think Chanukah, we think about Chanukah, the whole Chanukah is about the menorah. Unfortunately, because we don't daven. Okay, we're just mitzvah limuda. We don't even know what we're saying. If we really we're people who live the way we're supposed to live, the Chanukah menorah is only once a day. The tefillah is five times a day. You eat two meals a day, and you daven Shemona Esrei three times. So how many times are you saying Al Hanisim? Five times. How many times are you lighting Chanukah candles? One time. Chanukah candles bottle. So the whole day you're thinking about the Milchama, You're being tested. Are you going to look at this milchama, this victory, and use it as a springboard to connect to your spiritual sheresh? You're in the middle. The mezuzah on the right side represents the victory of war. Because what is war all about? The hegemon came into the home to be bar, have relations with the kala. I mean, what kind of invasion of privacy is there other than that? War is my private space. The victory. I'm going to live my life as a Torah Jew in my home. Victory. On the other hand, is on in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a holy light in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm in the middle. And I'm wearing tzitzis. Uri isem oso zechartem. Do you put the two together? Are you going to use the milchama as a springboard to connect to the koich of kedusha? That's the test. That's the test of Chanukah. And Chazal are trying to inspire you with the words, "Feliku neiros bechatzres kodshecha." Let this be a like a tea leaf, some like a springboard in order to wake you up to what Yom Tov is all about.